What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper that is celebrated by the Church? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine guidance and the declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, today we want to get into the story where Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And that takes us to the 14th chapter of Mark, and I shall read to you beginning with verse 22. This event occurred at a traditional Jewish Passover meal on the evening before Jesus Christ's crucifixion. So the disciples were there together with our Lord, and it says, quote, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Unquote. I said I would try to explain the Lord's Supper today. Therefore, remember that God gave rites in order to communicate realities. Let me say that again. God gave rites in order to communicate realities. Just before the Exodus, when Israel left Egypt, God instituted the Passover service, and every successive year, on that same day of deliverance, Israel was to celebrate this Passover meal. We call it a rite, R-I-T-E, that God instituted for the Jewish people so they would not forget their salvation from the slavery of Egypt. But now, before Jesus died on the cross, he instituted a new Passover, and this new Passover is called the Lord's Supper, because he's the one who instituted it. The Lord's Supper, or the new Passover, was to replace the old Passover, to become the new Christian rite. And this rite is to be done until the end of time. So the Lord's Supper is a divinely institutional ritual, and because Jesus ordained it and packed it with blessings, we should never become anti-ritualistic in this matter. But it is not only the Lord's Supper, the new Passover, it is also called the new covenant. The words of Jesus are, "This is my blood of the new covenant." Now then, why is it called a supper? It is a supper because it occurred at an evening meal. And why is it called the Lord's Supper? Because he, the Lord, instituted it. He broke the bread, he blessed it, and he gave the wine. And this was all done at supper. Therefore, it is more appropriate for churches to celebrate the Lord's Supper and an evening service rather than a morning service. So the supper Jesus and his disciples ate before the crucifixion was prepared by the disciples the old-fashioned way. They had no idea what would happen at the end of this traditional supper, the old-fashionable supper. But at the end of that supper, Jesus then prepared or gave a supper to his disciples. So they prepared a supper for him, and then he prepared a supper for them. And this evening meal, we go from the old supper to the new supper, from the old Passover to the new Passover, from the old covenant to the new covenant. That gets us right into our text in verse 22. It says, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body." So Jesus took bread and he brake it. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us his broken presence. Without that brokenness within us, we cannot truly identify with Jesus. Again, The disciples did not give this supper to Jesus, but Jesus gave this supper to his disciples. It is not something we sent up to the Lord, but it's something he sent down to us. Here Jesus is a giver. We are the receivers of grace. So in a sense, the supper is a downward direction of the whole gospel. It is a gift of Jesus by which he purchased for us through repentance and faith and release from guilt and from punishment and wrath and sin and death, in which he delivered to us that which we desperately needed. There's an old liturgy which says, what Jesus did for us on the cross, he delivered to us in the supper. Let me say that again. What Jesus did for us on the cross, he delivered to us in the supper. Now notice next, he gave it to his disciples. The Lord's Supper is not for general consumption, for all believers, for all churchgoers. No. The supper is a disciples' supper. It is only for those who have forsaken all to follow Jesus. The one who does not identify himself as the disciple should not take it. Because if one does take it without being a true disciple of Jesus, then one could eat this bread and drink this wine to their own condemnation. This is brought out by the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. There he says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that is, not as a disciple, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and sleep, that is, are dead. So there are many sick people in the congregation, and the Christian congregation in Corinth, and some had died prematurely because they partook of the supper and were not truly Jesus' disciples. So taking the Lord's Supper without being a disciple of Jesus can become a rather serious business. It cost Jesus everything, his own life, to purchase your and my salvation. And if we don't have the proper appreciation for it, if we don't likewise give our life to Jesus day after day in love and service to him, my friend, we should not partake of the supper. And then Jesus, as we read here, after he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, he gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is a commandment, my friend. This is not a request. Jesus did not request his disciples to eat of the supper. He commanded them, take and eat. If you are a disciple of Jesus and refuse to obey or refuse to eat of this bread, then you can no longer be a disciple of our Lord. The Lord will have nothing to do with you. So he wants you to. He commands of you that you partake of this supper, that you fellowship with him through this supper, because he has shed his blood, he has broken his body for you. He made a love sacrifice for you, and he wants you to accept it and remember it in the company of other disciples. I want you to know this is so important, that before Jesus left, he said, make disciples of all nations and teach them all that I have commanded them, or you. And indeed, what's recorded is that Jesus commanded here is Holy Communion. Now then Jesus said, this is my body. What does that mean? It is not to be taken literally, because you have to remember that the disciples did not eat Jesus' body when he was sitting with them, but he gave them the bread, and then he said, this, pointing to the bread, is my body. This represents my body. It is like the sun rays represent the sun. The sun rays are not the sun, but they represent the sun. They come from the sun, and so through us partaking of this bread, we partake of the grace of love, the love sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our blessing. Likewise then, of course, on that same night, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Well, hallelujah. They all drank of it. Everyone at the table drank of it, and each one was blessed by doing so. There's no way Any of us can come to God without the blood of the Lord Jesus. This wine represents the blood of the Lord Jesus. It is as we drink it, we acknowledge we cannot be God's children without the blood of Jesus. We cannot live holy without his blood. We cannot be forgiven without his blood. We have no power to live holy without the blood. What can take away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Of course, somebody will say, well, what about Judas? Didn't Judas also take this communion? Yes, he did. He also had forsaken all to follow Jesus. However, he allowed sin and selfishness to come into his life, and Jesus here, by offering him the Lord's Supper, the bread dipped in wine, Jesus gave him his last chance to repent of his sin. And if he would have repented of his sin, wonderful things would have happened to him. But if he would go on ahead and take this supper, this bread and wine, unworthily, without repentance, it would be the end of his life. And so it was. And this is why, because Judas did not repent, Jesus said of him, it would have been better for him never to have been born. Take the Lord's Supper seriously, my friend. Today, before the church offers the Lord's Supper, let it be like in days of old, in days of the old Passover. Let it be a day of preparation where you examine your heart and where, if you find any sins, you'll confess those sins to Jesus and repent of them, not planning to do them again. Finally, another reason why we have the Lord's Supper, other than to remember what he's done for us and be blessed by what he's done for us, is that the Lord Jesus did not just want to speak to us through his word, but he also wanted to touch us. So as we put this blessed bread, which represents the body of our Lord, into our bodies, and this grape juice or wine, as we take it into our bodies, Jesus is touching us in a special way, in a physical way. I want you to be part of me, he says. I want you to be intimate with me. Oh, I say, oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the Lord's Supper is a rite which was instituted by the Lord Jesus himself. It is a disciple's, not a believer's. Almost everybody believes, but it is a disciple's. It is supper. It is for those who have forsaken all, like these men did. It is a disciple's supper, and you as a disciples must take it and should rejoice in the blessing of it. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the blessings of this day. Once again, you've given us life. Life for no other reason or purpose but to live it out for you with all our might, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength this day. And help us to examine our hearts before we take the Lord's Supper again, so we will get a blessing rather than a damnation. We ask it in your precious name, dear Jesus. Amen. So thank you for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. And by the way, if you are looking for a good church by the grace of God, why don't you go where I go? And that's the Kokomo Christian Fellowship in Kokomo, Indiana, at 3215 Judson Road. Now then, goodbye until next week.